So I am most definitely not our congregation's foremost expert on barns. Okay? It is not the thing I know the most about. So I want to ask a few basic questions. Let's just get some facts out on the table here. Why do we have barns? What is their purpose? Who can tell me?
Storage.
Storage? What are we storing?
Animals.
Crops. Keep them dry, right? Got to keep them dry. Now, how long is that? Maybe it's hay, maybe it's some other kind of grain. How long is it going to last in that barn?
Till next spring.
Till next spring? Yeah, so this gentleman thinks he's good till next spring, huh? Perhaps he has invented some kind of preservative or dehydration system that we don't know about yet, that he's so confident in what he's got laid up in his barn. But of course, he's only putting it in there to feed probably animals, right? Or perhaps people, depending on what it is, and then the animals are going to feed us. So there's a purpose to what is stored up in the barn there, and the purpose is not for it to stay in the barn forever, right? Well, we're going to circle back around. Now, we're not storing away all of our riches in barns. Maybe some of us are, but a lot of us are putting it away in a retirement account. That's what we do. You know, those of us who are privileged enough to have more resources than what we need today or tomorrow to live on, some of us might put it away in a retirement account, like a IRA or a 401k. Or if you're really lucky, or maybe if you work for the state, you have a pension or something like that. Now, are you ready to have a conversation with yourself like the man in Jesus' parable and say, soul? Isn't that strange? He's like talking to himself and he says, soul, my soul, I'm talking to my soul. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, perhaps your financial barns aren't quite so full that you can just be that confident about your future. But do you think Jesus would come to tell you today to just empty out your retirement account and stop saving for the future? That is, if you're young like me and saving for the future, maybe you're using your retirement account now. But I don't think that Jesus is saying throw it all away and don't save anything. As most of you know, I've been your pastor and I'm about to return to my original career in accounting. So I want you to know that I do believe in saving for retirement. This is a good thing. It is not storing up your wealth for a bad purpose. It's just stretching your income, right, over the rest of your life so that when you grow older, you will still be able to provide for yourself and contribute to others and to the wider society. And after the service today, if you'd like to discuss the pros and cons of various tax-advantaged accounts, I'd be happy to have that conversation with you. I'll give you my card, but probably another day. But let's get back to Jesus. What does this man in the story ask Jesus? He doesn't ask him anything. He demands that Jesus use his authority to make sure he gets his cut of the family inheritance, that he gets his pile of what has been stored up in the barn. And Jesus, wise, he's a wise family counselor, so he knows not to allow himself to be triangulated in this family dispute. And he says, I'm not touching this. I'm not getting in the middle of it. But what I am going to do is warn you that greed can come upon you and take over your life in a New York minute or in a Wall Street millisecond. It can take over your life. And life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It does not. It's so easy for us, perhaps, to believe that we are in control. You know, to think, I have worked hard for this abundance of crops, the man might have thought. And you know, if he was a real man, if it wasn't just a story that Jesus was telling, I'm sure that he did. And I'm sure that all of you have worked quite hard for whatever abundance you may have, whether it is great or whether it is small. And you know, I like to think that I have a pretty good plan for retirement. And it is probably a pretty good plan. But this very night, my life may be demanded of me. This very year, the devastating diagnosis may come. Next week, something may happen that turns my plans right on their end that I have no control over. Sometimes we're tempted to think that we are the difference makers in our lives, that our efforts, our best laid plans, our intentions, our skills and gifts, whatever they are going to determine our future. And this isn't to say that we shouldn't use those gifts and make smart decisions and work hard and save for the future. Those are all good things. And that very much does determine how well we are able to contribute to the common good or achieve things or provide for our families under our current system. But none of that is a guarantee of our future, because any of that could be turned over tomorrow. And everything that we have, including our abilities and our gifts and our physical ability to work at all, is a gift from God, right? And so we have to avoid that temptation to think that we are the source of our own blessings, that we are the guarantee of our own future, when the only guarantee that we will wake up tomorrow is God, right? Amen? Yeah? We can agree on that? So I think the real question that Jesus is getting at here is, who is your God? Right? Who is your God? Our God is whoever we look to for our ultimate good, for everything that is good in the world, to guarantee our future and our present. And so have we fallen into one form of idolatry or another? Have we made our judgment or our best plans or our best efforts or our honest hard work or our achievements, has that become our God? Our culture certainly encourages us to believe that. But what Jesus in the Gospel of Luke and all the Gospels is quite clear about is that there is only one God. And he says that the God of the wealth, whether you store it in a barn or in your retirement account, that God has a name. He calls it Mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth, Jesus says. So where do we put our trust? I think we ought to consult the book of Ecclesiastes. I have to talk about it. This is one of the only Sundays it ever comes up for us to hear in worship. And it is a fascinating book. In Hebrew, it is called Kohelet, which is a name that means teacher or preacher. It's the book of the teacher. And she cries out with a singular voice in Scripture. In many places in Scripture, it seems to say, well, if you worship God the right way, then God's going to give you a lot of stuff. And if you fail to obey the Lord, he's going to take that stuff away from you. But what the teacher who writes Ecclesiastes says is, no, that's not the case at all. That no matter who you are, whether you are wise or whether like the psalm said today, whether you are dull or stupid, all of us, all of our days are going to come to an end on this earth. And everything that we have worked for, it's not going to be ours eventually. She goes through all these different things that people center their lives around. You know, pleasure will fade. Great houses will rot. Gold and riches will lose their value. And before too long, they're not going to be yours anymore. You can't use them when you have gone to the grave like all of us do. The first words of the book in Hebrew are Hevel Hevalim. And the word Hevel means something like vapor or mist. It's nothingness. It slips right through your fingers. It evaporates and vanishes. We translate it vanity of vanities, but everything, it just fades away. It is not the solid rock. And so we hear once again that stuff, whatever it is not our life. And I want to talk about the stuff that we have as a congregation. You know, over the last 20 years or 30 years as a congregation, we've stored up an abundance of wealth in our barn, right? We got a lot of stuff. We call it a building fund and a parsonage sale fund. We got a lot of resources, and we've done that for a good reason, because we believed that God wanted us to store these resources to use for God's mission in the world, the ministry that God has entrusted to us. But just like the hay that farmers put up in their barns, it's not supposed to stay there forever, right? It's supposed to be taken out and used to feed God's hungry people in whatever way God wants us to do that ministry. And just as like we hear from the teacher in Ecclesiastes, no stuff, no wealth is our salvation. You know, no pile of money guarantees the future of this congregation. No building guarantees the future of this congregation. You know who guarantees our future as a people? It's God, right? If God wants this congregation to be here and our ministry to be fruitful, money or no money, building or no building, it will be fruitful and it will be here. And if God has other plans, congregations have come and gone, just like people come and go in the history of the world. But you know what never stops, what never fades away, is the word of our God, right? The ministry of the gospel has never stopped in 2,000 years, and it will never stop here in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. So I want you to feel good about that today, that no matter what you decide, building or no building, whether you use those riches to build a building or whether you use them in some other way, the important thing is that they are used for God's mission, that they come out of the barn, right, and are used to feed the word to people who need to hear it, to use that abundance to bring good news. And here is, I want to share something else that the teacher in Ecclesiastes says. It's kind of her reflection on, well, what is our relationship to all this abundance and stuff that God gives us? She says, "I know that there is nothing better for mortals than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil." I think what she's saying is encouraging us to look around and see that God has made this wonderful earth and everything in it. That God has given us everything that we need for life. And the problem is simply that some of us store up too much of it in our barns and other people don't have enough. But none of it's going to last forever. So just enjoy what you have, whatever you have, as long as you have it. Enjoy your work. Enjoy what God has given for you to do. But don't ever confuse it for your God. Don't ever think that your future is guaranteed by this stuff. Don't ever worship it or make it the end or the goal of your life. It's a tool. It's there to be enjoyed, to be used. And if you have a surplus of anything more than you need, then by all means, share it with those who don't have enough. We can take Paul's advice too in Colossians. He says, "Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died." You catch that? He says, "You have died." He's saying that to people who are alive. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. We say that in our baptism we die. That this worldly life of chasing after wind, this life that is based on only the things that can be measured in stuff or in dollar signs, that life comes to an end. And the ground of your life, the source of your life, your reason for being is Jesus Christ, who has claimed you in baptism. And so you spring forth with him to live this life. The end and the goal and the source is all love. It's all relationship. Your life springs forth from God's love for you and your love for one another. What your reason for existence is that God wants you to be here in this web of relationships that we call the human family, to treasure the people around you, because that's the solid rock. That's what will not fade or vanish away. That's not vapor. That is the stuff of life that will endure forever. So center your life there. And life is trusting that no matter what lies ahead for you or for this world, it will be okay. Because God's not going anywhere. And God's promises will be kept. Even if, or, well, it's not an if, it's a when. Even when we come to the end of our days, it will be okay. Because God's not going anywhere then either. God takes us with him into the resurrection along with all of us who have gone before. So trust God today. Enjoy your life today. Don't wait. Enjoy what you have and don't worry about what you don't. But cherish the people that God has put into your life. Treasure the love of God. Worship God alone. And I'm going to summarize this all today in the eternal words, I think, of Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy.